You're listening to Soundboard on WTJU. I'm Nathan Moore. So, he goes by a lot of names: Satan, Lucifer, the Devil, Beelzebub, or my personal favorite, Old Scratch. First mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, Satan has a long and adversarial relationship with both God and humans. But despite his bad reputation, there are an awful lot of stories about humans making deals with the devil. Here's Homer Simpson.
Oh. Now remember, the instant you finish it, I own your soul for...
Hey, wait. If I don't finish this last bite, you don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but...
I'm smarter than the devil! I'm smarter than the devil!
You are not smarter than me! I'll see you in hell yet, Homer Simpson!
Not likely.
UVA Law School professor John Sitier is researching the pop culture tradition of humans trading their souls with the devil in exchange for personal gain. And he's also incorporating it a bit into a contract law class he's got here at UVA. Welcome to Soundboard.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first question I have to ask when you're writing a paper on deals with the devil, how did you get involved pursuing this research?
Well, it was actually that particular deal that Homer Simpson made with the devil that got me interested. I'm always on the lookout for contracts in popular culture, and that particular segment actually has two kind of unusual contracts. Homer makes the deal with the devil for the donut, which is an agreement, but he needs to make that deal with the devil because he has already eaten his own emergency donut, and he has written himself an IOU for that donut. So that's another agreement, a rather unusual one, that Homer makes.
So why is the devil always trying to collect human souls?
Well, I assume that's a theological matter, that the devil is interested in human souls. And one thing that struck me when I looked into arrangements between mortals and the devil is that the devil is only interested in human souls. When you teach contracts law or study contracts, you often talk about how many different forms contracts can take, how many different things we can make contracts for. And yet the devil only cares about souls. He doesn't make contracts with mortals for paperclips, for hell. He doesn't make contracts with mortals to be his agent. He just wants souls.
So you've researched a whole lot of different contracts with the devil at this point. He's always after souls. What are some of the common themes that run through all these devil contract stories?
Well, I found that the standard case involves one mortal who makes a deal with one devil for the mortal's own soul. The mortal wants some selfish gain, like a donut or knowledge or riches. The devil, and this surprised me in a sense, the devil is very honest in this transaction. He's honest about who he is, and he's honest about what they're bargaining for. Mm-hmm. And finally, the devil does not seem to be taking advantage of people, except to the degree that he's looking for people who can be tempted. But he doesn't make deals with people when they're drunk, and he doesn't make deals with people when they're distraught. In this particular case, the devil is a stand-up guy, except that he's going to take your soul.
Yeah, right. The end item in the contract, of course.
That's right.
What do you think these contracts with the devil can tell us about psychology, human psychology?
Well, again, in a theological sense and a kind of a literary sense, because that's one thing that interests me, why do authors choose the contractual form as the metaphor for their story? They could choose something else. They could choose a simple bet, or they could have the devil simply waiting around for people to commit a sin. But the authors choose to make it a contract. And I think that's about human psychology in the sense of saying, here's a clear choice. The contract is about a clear choice. The devil's honest about who he is. The contract makes it very clear what the two parties are bargaining, and yet mortals are still willing to give in to that temptation.
So what do you think, in more modern stories, humans are often, I guess their motivations seem to be getting a little bit more altruistic. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's certainly true. As I said, the standard case involves selfish gains, but you do see, especially in more modern instances, and my fabulous research assistant Ian Duffy has been very helpful in finding the more modern instances. You see in Ghost Rider, for example, that the motorcycle daredevil trades his soul to cure his father from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that's happening is people who look at these stories about the devil and the mortal are looking for something beyond the standard temptation story. Just as studies show that fewer and fewer people believe in the devil, believe in a personalized temptation, I think people want to imagine more and more that people interacting with the devil can be altruistic.
Mm-hmm. So how do I get out of a contract I signed with the devil?
Well, that's a good question.
I hear I can fiddle really well.
That's right. That's actually, fiddling involves at least two asserted contracts with the devil. Niccolò Paganini, a famous violinist, was said to have traded his soul for musical talent. And then there's a Charlie Daniels Band song, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." But one very interesting thing about these contracts is, what happens if the mortal just decides to go back, to renege? And in many of the retellings of the Faust legend, which is probably the most literarily familiar example, a renunciation by the mortal means the mortal gets his or her soul back, that the devil cannot take you unless you are willing to go. So my advice to you, although this is not legally binding advice, is change your mind. Tell the devil you've changed your mind. See what happens.
All right. We've been speaking with UVA Law School professor John Satir. Thank you so much for joining us here on Soundboard.
You're welcome.
He's researching the pop culture tradition of humans trading their souls with the devil in exchange for personal gain. That seems like a very fun academic paper to read. We'll be back in just a minute.